We continue in Hebrews. Talking about choices. We make lots of choices. Throughout life, we make choices. Some are bigger than others. Some are more important than others. Some of the choices we make, we can see the results of that choice easier than others. Sometimes you don't see the results of your choice for some time. From the scripture that I had Dan read, we see that God gives us free will to make choices. He's not a God that twists our arm, although He can, and there are some examples in Scripture of God twisting someone's arm, so to speak. I think of Jonah, tries to run, and God said, "Nope, you're not getting out of this one." But for the most part, our free will, you know, God allows us to choose. And the question for believers today is, what is the basis for my choices? On what basis do you make these choices? And we're going to look at the life of Moses. We're continuing in the Great Faith chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews. And Moses and his family, we're going to start off with Moses' parents had to make a choice, but then Moses made choices as well. And our faith can make for better choices. If we make our choices according to faith, not according to what seems appropriate, but according to what God's Word has to say, and have faith in that Word and make those choices, those are better choices. And so we're going to look at this. I'm going to read the verses, Hebrews 11, 23 through 29. The writer has been taking us down this great hall of fame of faith, is what some people call this. We started with Abel and Enoch and Noah, and went to the patriarchs and, you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and now Joseph, and now we're coming to Moses. Great man in the Bible. A great man that God used mightily. And it says, by faith, after Moses was born, he was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they didn't fear the king's edict. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the short-lived pleasure of sin. For he considered the reproach because of the Messiah to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since his attention was on the reward. By faith, he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him who is invisible. By faith, he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. And by faith, they crossed the Red Sea as though they were on dry land. And when the Egyptians attempted to do this, they were drowned. And so here we have a very short biography of Moses, a man of which you can read chapters and chapters and books of the account of his life. And he wrote the first five books of what we call the Old Testament now, and also one of the Psalms, Psalm 90, I believe, was written by Moses. And so, you know, a great man of God. And the writer of Hebrews, he's talking about faith. And what good is your faith if you don't make the choices God would have you make? And so he's given us some examples where Moses made some tough choices. Because, you know, we'd like all of our choices to be like me. You know, like the choice I had last night on our way home, we stopped at this ice cream place, and there's 50 flavors up there, and I had to make a choice, you know. Now, I would have preferred to have chosen 50 scoops, one of each flavor, but that was not practical. So I ended up with one scoop of chocolate chip and one scoop of butter pecan, and those were my choices. But, you know, the ramifications of those choices aren't necessarily hard, you know? Those are not hard choices to make. But, you know, so many of our choices in life are very important. And Moses made some huge ones. And that's what we're going to look at today. So how does faith work in our choices? You know, when you are making a tough choice, there can be some fear involved. You know, if I make this choice, what's going to happen? If I make that choice, what, you know, there's some fear. Fear of the unknown. We like to know what's ahead. I mean, that's our nature, you know. I wish I knew, if I made this choice, just what that would turn out like. And we don't always get that, do we? We have to make a choice and then live with the choices that we make. And so, but I'm here to tell you, if you make your choice in faith and you make it based on God's word, faith dispels fear. Faith dispels fear. And we look in verse 23, by faith, after Moses was born, he was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw the child was beautiful. And here it is, they didn't fear the king's edict. You know, most of us know the story. The children of Israel, you know, they were all in the land of Egypt and they were multiplying like crazy. God blessed them. And they became a huge people in Egypt. But in Exodus, which is where a lot of this about Moses comes into play, there arose a king that did not know Joseph. Because you see, Joseph came in there and saved Egypt. God used him to save Egypt, put together this plan. And as a result, Pharaoh at that time made Joseph the number two guy, only second only to himself in power and authority in Egypt. And Joseph had the freedom and the authority and the power to implement his plan, and it worked. And so he was revered in Egypt, and the king said, hey, take Goshen, which was this great land of Egypt, and your people can live there as long as they want. And so hundreds of years have gone by. Some generations have gone by. And the Bible says, now there's a king that does not know Joseph. And he's like, these people are a threat to us. And they're becoming too numerous. So here's what's going to happen. I'm proclaiming this edict. And this edict says, if you have a baby and it's a male, you stick him outside and let him die. Now that's hard to do, folks. But if you don't do it, then I'm going to come in and take out your family, basically. Now, that's a rough choice, isn't it? But it's interesting. In this verse, it says, by faith, they did not fear the king's edict. They chose to do what was right. They chose to obey God. They did not fear Pharaoh. Do what is right before God rather than obey man in fear. I mean, that's really the choice they made. In other words, they chose life. And this verse that I'm going to show you, it's a verse that we use at the Rosa Sharon. It's kind of a basis verse. The Rosa Sharon is a pregnancy crisis center, if you don't know that. My wife is the director of it. And it's been around for close to 30 years now. And the verse is Deuteronomy 30:19, written by Moses, appropriately enough. I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Choose life. You know, Amram and Jochebed, you know, I don't know if you know who they are. That's Moses' parents. Okay? Amram and Jochebed. How'd you like to have those handles? Okay? All that to say, they chose life for their child. They chose to believe God rather than believe man. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus told his disciples, you know, he says, you got more fear of the Pharisees than you do of God. Because they were always worried about, you know, what's going to happen. And of course, until they had the Holy Spirit, they didn't have the power. But you know what? What's our excuse? If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit. So which way are you choosing? Are you choosing to obey God, or are you choosing to obey man? You know, I've heard so many times from different people, you know, different things, and their family will pressure them, or you know, the workplace pressures them, or you know, whatever. Pressures come from our culture, from our government. But who are you really going to fear? Where is your faith placed? That's the question we have to deal with when we make our choices, because not every choice is what flavor of ice cream are you going to buy. Sometimes it's whether are you going to defy the most powerful man on the earth at that time, which was Pharaoh. Are you going to defy him? Who do you fear more, Pharaoh or God? And that's where our choices have to come down to, folks. Where's your faith? Is it in Pharaoh or is it in God? Those are the choices we make. But you know what? If your faith is in God, your faith will dispel the fear. The fear will not be there. Oh, you may be like, well, I wonder what's going to happen. But your trust is in God. That He knows your situation and He loves you. And He's there. And you may have to go through some dark times because of your choice. But He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you through the dark times as well as the good times. Don't fear. You know, fear is an acronym. F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. So many of the things we fear, We see this evidence and we're like, oh, this is what's going to happen. But you know, most of the things that I have feared, they haven't happened. Some things do. But, you know, tons of things don't happen that you fear are going to happen. Don't let the enemy sideline your faith because of fear. Stand firm in what you know to be true. Because sometimes your emotions will take you down a wrong road. Don't act on emotion. Emotions have purpose. They're given to us by God. But don't act on emotion. Act on what you know to be true from the Word of God. That's where the bedrock is, folks. That's where the bedrock is. Choose life. Now, I'm giving you three things that you're going to choose today. One of them is, are you going to choose life? The abundant life. Jesus said, I came to give you life. Are you going to choose that life? Or are you going to choose just to kind of be like the wind, the reed in the wind, blowing every time the wind changes direction, you go a different direction? Or are you going to choose life? The abundant life. So faith dispels fear. Faith declares a choice. Verse 24 and 5. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the short-lived pleasure of sin. Okay, let's just lay it out there right now. You know what? Sometimes sin is pleasurable. In fact, most of the time it is. Hello, we wouldn't do it, right? If we didn't get something out of it in some way. I mean, let's just be honest. Sometimes we are allured by something that's not good, that's not right, because we, number one, we think we can get away with it. And number two, because there's some pleasure or there's some seemingly positive aspect to it in some way. But let me tell you what the truth is about sin. Any sin, by the way. And I know, you know, some of you probably sitting there thinking, boy, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. You know? Well, what about you? You are the one here hearing this. Okay? But here's the truth about sin. It is temporary and it is evil. And we need to understand that. You know, even that little lie you told, it's evil. Do you understand that God lumps all sin together? You read about it many times, especially in the New Testament. I mean, he talks about adultery and fornication and murder and what we call the big sins. And then he throws in there, and all liars will be thrown in the lake of fire. There is no small sin, folks. All sin separates us from God. All sin made it necessary for God to come to earth in the form of Jesus Christ and die on the cross for your sin and mine. All sin caused that to happen. Our sin caused that to happen. And faith declares a choice. You got to choose. Sin is deceptive in nature. People think, oh, it's really not sin. You know, we got this ability to rationalize and make excuses why we did what we did. Oh, it's okay because whatever. It is not okay. And we need to face that. It is short. The pleasure of sin is short-lived. It says, he chose not to be called. He had to choose not to be called Pharaoh's daughter. You understand, Moses was a big shot in Egypt. This was just not some guy that grew up and, you know, he was thought to be Pharaoh's daughter or whatever, raised as Pharaoh's daughter. And he was a mighty leader in Egypt. When you read history, he led armies down south to Ethiopia and did great battles and won great victories. I mean, you think he got all that leadership just out of the blue that, you know, God drafted him for to lead the children of Israel? He'd already been a leader in Egypt. And he, you know, had all the prestige and the position and the power and all that went with where he was at. And then at some point, God made him aware of who he was. And he had to make a choice. Now think about this. You are a big shot in Egypt. You got anything you want, anybody you want, do anything you want, wealthy. He might even have been Pharaoh one day if the cards had fallen right, you might say. And then you got this people that are being oppressed. They were already being oppressed. They were already, the Egyptians were saying, kill their male children and make them, you know, we put them in slave labor and all that. So this is your choice. I'm going to stay in the palace, or I'm going to go down and tote bricks and make bricks and build pyramids for the Egyptians and live in poverty and under oppression. Those were the choices that he was looking at. You know, I think of someone else that had a choice. You know, I think of David. Here's David, king. He's got it all going for him. And he looks over and he sees a woman that's not his. He says, I want her. And he had a little pleasure for a short time. And a baby was conceived and born. And he denied his sin. He acted like nothing had ever happened. But you know what? God called him on the carpet. And you know what? There were severe consequences for David. The Bible says the sword will never cease from your house. And you know what? All of David's sons were killed but one. Eventually, I mean, they were all... He had all these princes. Solomon's the only one. What's interesting is his sin... The pleasure of his sin was short-lived, but his consequences were long-lived. The consequences of his sin went on and on and on. Moses, the consequences of his choice, he chose not to be in Egypt. He chose to be with his own people. And that was temporary. You know, he was 40 when that happened. And he lived to be 120, the Bible tells us. So for 80 years of his life. But you know what? That's short. I know 80 years is long, comparatively speaking for us. But compared to eternity, what's 80 years, folks? It's a drop, right? It's a breath. Our lives are vapors, the Bible says. Moses chose short-lived consequences. He had consequences of his choice. And you can read all about it in Exodus. You know, it wasn't real pleasant leading those Hebrews around, constantly grumbling, complaining. Remember, he had the Ten Commandments, comes down. His own brother makes an idol. Comes down, got God's word in his hands. Throws him on the ground, man. You don't think he was frustrated with those people? He's probably sitting there thinking, man, I should have stayed in Egypt. It'd be really good right now. But no, he really shouldn't have stayed in Egypt. Because that wasn't God's will. He made the right choice. And he was the right man. And God used him. And he had long-lived consequences of his choice. You know, we tend to think of consequences as negative. But consequences are neutral. They're either good consequences or bad consequences. And Moses, I mean, he's honored. One of the consequences of his faith, he's in the book of faith. He's in the great faith chapter. Man, what an honor that is. A book that, you know what? The Bible itself tells us this word is forever. It's forever. And he's with God forever. And you know what? If you know the Lord, you're going to get to meet him one day. Isn't that cool? You get to meet him one day. But you know what? Faith declares a choice. At some point, your faith is going to make you make a choice. Verse 26, faith defines your values. For he considered the reproach because of the Messiah, to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since his attention was on the reward. He had all the wealth of Egypt at his disposal. This was a guy, and he had it all. And he had to choose between the world's wealth and heaven's reward. What are the things of the world that have your attention? What are the things of the world that kind of draw you kind of away from where God wants you to be? Where is your attention focused? Are you focusing on the reward? Or are you kind of focusing on what's going on and, you know, what can be, in a sense, positive for you in this world? Faith defines your values, folks. It defines where you stand. It defines who you will serve. Joshua, famous verse. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, does it seem evil to you to serve the Lord? Does it seem like God asks you to do things and you don't get it? Lord, if you love me, this wouldn't happen, or this wouldn't be a choice I have to make. Does it seem evil to you to serve the Lord? Then choose for yourselves this day who you are going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river? or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell? But Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, probably half of you at least probably have that verse somewhere on their wall. You know, it's a famous, you know, and you see it a lot. You know, you go to any Christian bookstore, you know, there'll be a little thing there and it'll have that verse. I mean, really cool verse. We say that, but look at what he's asking us to do. Choose. Choose for yourselves who you're going to serve. You know, first he tells us to choose life. Now he's saying choose who you're going to serve.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I know it's only a second time here. But
that's okay.
Sometimes I get a little confused. I mean, I live and breathe God and
Amen.
I pray and everything else.
Okay.
But then it's like when I was a little girl, I was like raised Jehovah's Witness, which I really couldn't stand because you weren't allowed to do this, that, and the other.
Okay.
And then I knew a few of my friends that are like Mormon and you know, and here I'm
okay.
here with you guys.
Okay.
And, I mean, but I've been even to different churches and so
okay.
I'm just trying to find my spot. But how is it that there is so many different beliefs? I don't get it.
Okay. There's only one way.
Okay.
There's only one way.
No,
that's okay. You know what? It's fine. It's fine. Don't feel embarrassed. You're searching.
I know.
You're searching.
Yeah.
Okay? And God led you here. And this is no accident. And I don't want you to feel self-conscious or anything. Okay? You're searching for truth. And I want you to know this word is truth. And the reason there's all these things is exactly what I talked about. Satan is deceptive. He makes people believe lies. Okay? He presents it out there and people will choose what they're going to believe. And see, you looked at some things and you found them kind of falling short. Because you're seeking truth and God is giving you light. Right now, you are getting light. And so,
my biological father, he raised me as a Jehovah's Witness, and it's like, Armageddon's coming, oh, you know,
okay.
God's going to come, and this and that. And well, okay, I'm 46 years old, and it hasn't come yet.
Right. That's okay. We believe he's coming also, but it's his time. And in the meantime, the question for us is, what are we going to do? What are the choices you're going to make? That's kind of what this message is about. The message, all of us have to make choices in this life. And right now, that's okay. Right now, though, you're looking to make a choice. And I praise you for being bold enough to ask, because it's a serious question. You know, and there's probably some other people here that have some serious questions too. And that's okay. I understand. And that's unusual. But you know what? I am always willing to share truth. And when somebody is sincerely seeking it, there is always a place for that. And I'll be glad to talk with you, if, you know, in more in depth and more specific to your situation, if you like.
Sorry. No,
it's okay. Don't.
Not a problem.
Listen, everyone here is for you.
Amen.
Okay, everyone here is for you. There is love here. Because God has loved us, we love you. Okay? There's love here. Now all I got to do is figure out where I'm at. But that's okay. Listen. Everybody's hoping I'll forget that I didn't preach the rest of this. And we can jump right to the offering and get to the food. But that's no problem. Listen. This is a house where truth is found. And you're seeking, I have no problem sharing truth. We're going to make a choice, folks. We find our values in this word. And Moses found his values. And he said, you know, is it about Egypt? And Egypt's a type of the world, by the way. You know, and the world has attractions for us. And there's a lot of belief systems out there. And people will sometimes gravitate to one because that's what they want to hear. But I'm here to tell you, there is truth in this word, and we need to choose truth. Regardless of what it says, we choose truth. And we read the word, and we see if we need to line up with the word. That's the choice we make. We don't ask God to change for us. We need to change to His point of view, to what He has to say. You're either going to serve sin, the world, or the flesh. You know, the Bible says we are a slave to sin. But when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. John 8:36. And He frees you from sin. And now, see, that freedom gives you the power to make a choice. Because up until that point, you can't help but make a choice wrong. You're going to choose sin. You can't help it. You have a sin nature that wants its own way. But once you have the Holy Spirit, you now have the power. You can say no. You have the power to make a choice. So your choice at this point is, who are you going to serve? You going to serve sin, the world, or the flesh, your own flesh? Because, you know, we tend to blame a lot on Satan. And you know, and he's out there and he's busy, okay? I get it. And we tend to blame a lot on the world. Well, the culture, the people, you know. But you know what? The Bible tells us we got three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the flesh, that's you, folks. That's you and me. And I can tell you, more often than not, it's my bad choices that got me there. More so than Satan coming down and messing with me, or the government, or you know, other people. It is me. It is what I chose. And we need to understand, we need to make choices. And you're either going to choose the world, the flesh, or the devil, or you're going to choose the Lord. Because that's your choices, folks. That's all there is. It can manifest itself in a lot of different ways, but it really boils down to either the world's going to allure you, or Satan's going to try and fool you, or your own flesh is going to draw you away. Or you can consciously say, I'm going to learn what this word has to say, and I'm going to choose to do it. I'm going to serve God. And so we're either going to choose life, or we're going to choose who we are going to serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Faith determines authority. Verse 27. By faith he left Egypt behind, not being afraid of the king's anger, for Moses persevered as one who sees him. Him, God. Okay? He persevered as one who sees God, who is invisible. Listen, if Moses had his eyes on Pharaoh, he would have feared him and followed him. But he had his eyes on God. Where are your eyes? Who are you looking to? Who's your authority? Who? Unique service. God was the object of his faith. And so Moses looked to God and followed him. And followed him. Followed the true God. He determines your faith determines who's in charge of your life. Who's the authority? What did Jesus say? He says, you're going to serve mammon, or you're going to serve God. You're going to serve money. You're going to cling to one, despise the other. You're going to love one, hate the other. Now listen, we need to take care of money. Money's important. Bible writes much about money. Okay? That's fine. But who's your master? Who's your authority? Do you do everything based on money? Or do you do it based on God and His Word and what He's revealed to you? Those are the choices we make. We make those choices every day. It determines your authority. Faith demands obedience. Verse 28, by faith he instituted the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch the Israelites. What's the Passover? You know, Moses dealing with Pharaoh. And all these plagues come. And Moses is saying, God wants you, Pharaoh, to let the Hebrews go. And he wouldn't let them go. Every time he'd say he'd let them go, then he'd harden his heart. He wouldn't let them go. Finally, Moses says, you know what? The final plague. You know, the angel of death's going to come and all the firstborn in the land. It wasn't just people. It was even the animals. Firstborn. Males. Are going to die. Tonight. And he said, take blood. He went to the children of Israel and he said, take the blood of the lamb. Symbolizing Jesus Christ. And you put it on your doorposts and on the, whatever they call that thing over top. Okay? And he said, put it on there, and when the angel comes, he will pass over you. And you know what? Nothing like that had ever happened before. So Moses had to make a choice. Am I going to tell all these people to do this crazy thing? Everybody's got to sacrifice a lamb and put blood. You know, he had to choose to tell them that, and then he had to choose to do it himself. And all those people had to make choices. And they had to choose to put the blood on. Faith demands obedience. Think about Noah. Noah was mentioned earlier in this chapter. It had never rained, ever. And God says, I'm going to flood the whole world. Build this huge boat. Faith demands obedience. You know, it didn't make sense. I'm sure it probably didn't make sense to Noah. I mean, how much water is it going to take to lift this boat off the ground? And I'm sure he faced ridicule and, you know, and all those things from the people that were there saying, you're a nut, Noah. But because of faith, when you have faith, it demands obedience. You're going to do what the Word says, even if it don't make sense. Even if like, man, this doesn't make sense at all. But if you have faith in it, you're going to take it to be truth, and you're going to follow through. It demands obedience. Moses' faith forced him to follow God. He followed God's instructions, didn't he? In 29, faith delivers salvation. Sometimes we have nothing. Listen to me. Sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes your world is upside down. Sometimes we have nothing but God's promises to rely on. Sometimes that's just all you have. Moses said to the people, don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the Lord's salvation that He will provide for you today. For the Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. What's going on here? Moses, you know, the Passover happened. The angel of death happened. All the firstborn of Egypt died. Even Pharaoh's own son died. And in his grief, he told Moses, said, get your people, take anything you want, and get out of here. Get out of here. And Moses did. And they took a ton of stuff, too, if you read it. I mean, they took gold, and I mean, they took tons of stuff, and they loaded up, and they went. But you know what? It's funny how evil works. Pharaoh kind of wakes up, and he goes, what have I done? I just turned loose my whole workforce. So he sent his army after him. And immediately, children of Israel, they all start grumbling to Moses. Oh, you know, you brought us out here, and here comes the army. They're going to kill us. Because they were up against the Red Sea. And if you learned the topography there. There was like mountains. And they were there was nowhere to run. Plus, you know, they estimate anywhere from 1 to 3 million people with carts and horses and, you know, all. How fast could they run anyway? Over, you know, running away from Pharaoh and his chariots and trained army, you know, all those guys. There's no way. And you know what God did? He put this big dust storm. And they couldn't get through. And Moses says, don't be afraid. Stand firm and see the Lord's salvation. That He will provide for you today. And the Egyptians you see today, you're never going to see them again. Moses believed God and led his people through the Red Sea. You know, God said, hey, stand out there and do this or whatever. And it was something like this. And Red Sea opens up and the dust storm just keeps blowing. Pharaoh can't get through. And I don't know how long it takes, but it had to take quite a while for those guys to get across that Red Sea. All those people, all those animals. I mean, when you think of, you know, think about what was taking place. They get all across. And we, you know, most of us, we know the story. Then the dust cloud lifts. Pharaoh's army goes across. They get about halfway and done. They're done. It's over. Faith delivers salvation. And you know, the Egyptians, again, it's a picture of the world. And do you understand that promise is still true for us today? Do you understand that if you have the Lord's salvation, that He will provide for you? He's capable of providing. The world you see today, one day you'll never see it again. You understand that? Because this world's going to get destroyed. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven, the old earth, done. Gone. And we, believers, ones that have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in Christ alone, stand firm and see the Lord's salvation. That He will provide for you today. Because you see, you got to choose who you're going to follow. The choice that this woman's making. She's, who am I going to follow? She has to make a choice. Who are you going to follow? You got to make a choice. Who am I going to follow? You see, we got to choose life. That's a good choice. I want to live. And I got to choose who I'm going to serve. But you know, serving and following is two different things. You know, serving, you kind of have to. But following is choice. Who am I going to follow? Look what Elijah. Elijah approached all the people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If Yahweh is God, follow Him. If Baal is God, follow him. You know, Baal is a false god. Okay? He's a false god. And you know, we got lots of false gods. A lot of people follow the dollar. A lot of people follow power. A lot of people follow whatever floats their boat. Okay? You know what I mean? We got all kinds of gods. Some people follow football religiously. Okay? And it's a god. You know, if you can let it get out of control. I was there. Okay? We can follow a lot of false gods. But Elijah said it. You know, he said, how long are you going to hesitate? You know, here's the people. You had the prophets of Baal, and you had the one true God. And Elijah goes to the people and says, how long are you going to hesitate? How long are you going to wait before you make a decision? You're going to choose, in our situation, you're going to choose the world, you're going to choose God. You know, we're not following the prophets of Baal, per se. But those aren't the choices we have to make. But what's big in your life? What are the things that kind of lure you? What are the things that entice you? What are the things that your flesh kind of wants to go that direction? Identify those things. Hey, it's nothing wrong with enjoying football, or nothing wrong with having a position, or having some money in the bank. There's nothing wrong with that. But who are you following? What is your desire towards? That's the choice we have to make. We can choose to follow God and His Word, or we choose to follow something else, anything else. That's the choice. Coming back to the verse I had Dan read at the very beginning. So then, brothers, and I got this underlined, we are not obligated to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Because you see, we are not obligated. Do you understand that? You don't have to. You don't have to choose wrong. You can choose right. But the choice is, you're going to live according to your flesh, or you're going to live according to the Spirit. The flesh, you get, you know, wisdom in our own eyes, so to speak. Spirit, God's wisdom. And see, here's the deal. Before you accept Christ as your Savior, you're basically obligated to the flesh. You got nothing else. You got nothing else to go on. But when you come to realize that Jesus Christ came, He's God, He's equal with God, He is God. Bible says He did not consider it robbery to be called equal with God. It wasn't bringing God down. It wasn't lowering God's status. Jesus Himself said, if you want to see the Father, look at Me. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. That's Jesus Christ. And when you trust in His Word, because see, He paid a price we could not pay ourselves. The price of your sin and mine, we cannot pay ourselves. It's just that simple. We had to have a sacrifice. There had to be a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. And you know what? I'm tainted, and so are you. I've done wrong, and so have you. And so I can't even sacrifice myself and please God. It had to be a perfect sacrifice. And the only thing that's perfect in this universe is God Himself. So God Himself had to provide the sacrifice. And He did in the form of Jesus Christ. And He paid the price for sin, past, present, and future. Paid the price on the cross. And because of that, we can put our flesh to death, so to speak. We can live in the Spirit. We can make spiritual choices when we accept that sacrifice that God made on our behalf. And therefore, we are not obligated to the flesh at all. We don't owe our flesh anything. And He says a few verses later, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is going to be revealed to us." You understand? Yeah, things are hard in this life. Man, things go wrong in this life. Things we don't want to go through. But they do happen. It's part of our sin-fallen world. It's part of our nature. That sin nature that we have. But you know what? The sufferings, they're not worth comparing to the glory that is going to be revealed. You know, one day we're going to see things. You know, what does the Bible say? Eyes not seen, ears not heard. You know, what God's going to do, it's going to be marvelous. And you either believe that or you don't. It is that simple. And if you have your eyes focused on the reward, like it said Moses did, you can make the tough choices in this life. Because you keep your eyes on what God is going to do. True biblical faith means obeying God, regardless of the circumstances and in spite of the consequences. Because sometimes we make good choices, we make the godly choice, there's consequences to it. You know, think about that baker, and is it in Washington? Or, you know, by conscience, he made a choice, and it's cost him. There's been some consequences, and he's not the only one. You know, there's a lot of that going on. But regardless of the circumstance, and in spite of the consequences, he obeys God. He's obeying God, you know, what God laid on his heart, he's following through. True biblical faith means obeying God. Life is made up of choices. The course of our life, the quality of our life, is determined much more by our decisions than our circumstances. Listen, things happen to all of us that we did not decide. You know, some people say, well, I didn't wish that, you know, I didn't choose that, or, you know, that's true. We all have that. We all have things that happened to us that we went through that we did not choose. But the course and the quality of our life is determined way more by our decisions than it is by what happens to us. Because really, what the Christian life is about, it's not about avoiding issues and problems and pain and affliction and suffering and those things. It's about how you respond to those things in your life. How do you respond when the things in your life aren't going the way you thought? That's where the faith comes in. That's where the choice comes in. How am I going to respond to it? And that's what's going to determine the course, and that's what's going to determine the quality of your life. Because, you know, I've known some people have gone through some tough stuff, and they got a quality life. God gave them life. He gave them abundant life in the midst of terrible circumstances. Because the things that happen to us, they don't have to destroy us. They don't have to bring us down. Power of God working through us in our obedience to Him, making godly choices, takes us out of the dirt and sets us on a rock. God does. How we respond is up to us. We do not know what the future holds. I mean, we know in general, you know, we know there's read Revelation, you see lots of things. But in your life, do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? You think you do, but you don't. Okay? Let alone next week, next month, or next year. We don't know what the future holds, but we can choose to have faith and follow the God who holds the future. We can do that. And trust Him in the midst of whatever it is we're battling or going through. Now, a little prayer. God, help me to focus on You and Your faithfulness. You know, even when we're not faithful, He's faithful. You know, isn't that cool? When you're not holding on to Him, He holds on to you. Amen. Praise God for that. God, help me to focus on You and Your faithfulness in every decision I make. We make lots of decisions, some big, some not so big. Where's your focus? What's the basis for your decision? What are you basing it on? Man, go to Him. He's, you know, the Bible says, if you lack wisdom, ask. I'll give it to you. How many times do we make decisions and we don't ask? We just make them. Focus on Him. You know, Moses, it says, His attention was on the reward. Man, keep one eye on the reward. You know, we got to keep an eye on our life, okay? I mean, we can't neglect our life, but keep an eye on the reward as well. There may be someone here today. I don't know. I can't see into your hearts. But God can. You know, you can't, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, you can't make a good choice. You know, you can make some choices better than others, but the first choice you need to make is for Christ to come into your life and save you. That's the first choice. And after that, you will have a relationship with the living God upon which now you can make all those other choices. What's your first choice? There may be someone here today that has never made that choice. You're presented with life and death, basically. And in Christ there is life, and in every other, there's no life. There may be someone here today that would say, Brother Mike, I have never asked God to forgive me and placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His sacrificial death on the cross to pay for my sin, that I would be adopted into God's family. There may be someone here that has never done that. I hope you will today. If you're one of those, I hope you will today. This is an opportunity. For the rest of us, how have your choices worked out? Are you thinking about one maybe that you didn't really talk to God about very much, and you kind of look around and you go, wow, you know, I wish I'd have thought that one through a little bit more. Do you choose based on what you see? Or do you make your choices based on God's Word and what you know in His Word? Do you choose life? Do you choose to serve? Do you choose to follow? Those are the three choices for a Christian. Are we going to choose life? The abundant life? Are we going to choose to serve? Are we going to choose to follow God? That's the choices, folks. You start making those three choices the right way, then all the other choices will be a lot easier to make. You can have every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Anybody here today would say, Brother Mike, I've never placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I have never asked Him to forgive me and come into my life and save me. Anybody like that? I'd just like you to slip your hand up. Let me see it. I'll pray for you. Anybody like that? As far as I know. Okay, as far as I know, everyone's done that, and that's good. I hope that's true. For the rest of us, how many would just say, Brother Mike, I've made some choices that I wish I hadn't have made. Anybody like that? Amen. Glad you're honest. I think we all made choices we wish we hadn't have made. We look back on it and we say, wow, man, I can't believe I made that choice. How many would like to say, Brother Mike, I need to start consulting God more with my choices? Anybody like that? I need to start consulting God more with my... Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. How many would say, Brother Mike, I need to make some changes? Based on what I know of the Word of God, I know I need to make some changes. Anybody like that? You have some hands. God bless you. Need to make some changes. Listen, there's nothing wrong with making changes. God wants you to move towards Him. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray, Lord, right now. There, a lot of hands went up, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd move on hearts right now, that you would give light where there was once darkness. And Lord, give life where there was no life. And I pray, Lord, that you would take these ones, the ones that have, you've done something in their mind. You've brought something to their mind, Lord. And I pray you give them wisdom. And I pray you give them courage. And I pray, Lord, you give them action in their life. Because true faith is action. And Lord, I pray there would be action where they would make a choice to start doing things your way. Based on your word. And your spirit working in them. And I pray, Lord, these things and more in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue as Kathy plays. If anybody would like prayer, I'm here. You can come up. I'll pray with you. Anybody needs to make a decision, I pray you come up. We'll make a decision. But take this time. Right now, this moment, this is your opportunity. God has brought something to your mind. You need to deal with it. He didn't bring it to your mind to waste. He brought it that you would make a choice. It's my prayer that you would do so. Take this time. This is your time. Deal with God as He deals with you. Father, Lord God, I come before you, Lord. I know there are some here that have to make some really big decisions. There's things going on in their life, and there are some things on their heart. And Lord God, I know there's probably some fear, and there's some values that are being judged right now, and there's some decisions about authority and obedience, Lord, being made. And Lord God, I pray you give them courage. I pray, Lord, you bless them. Lord, I pray you would make them just explode with your spirit, Lord, that they would see truth and want to follow it with all their heart. And Lord God, I pray you bless them and protect them, because if they make a choice for you, I know there's going to be adversity, there will be an adversary, there'll be opposition from the evil one, there'll be opposition from their own flesh even. And Lord God, I pray that you would indeed overcome all those things, that they would prosper in you and in your word and in their lives as they seek to follow you. And I ask you these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. This is Monique, and she just wants prayer. She needs to make better choices in her life. And have a couple of you ladies. Let's have some ladies up here. I'm out of my element here. Some ladies come up and pray for Monique. Anyone that would like to pray out loud, go ahead, and I'll close.
Father God, I just pray that you be with Monique, Lord God, and bless her heart that wants to do better in her life and make better choices. And Lord God, give her the strength and the courage to follow you and to do your will. And we just thank you for her. In Jesus' name.
Lord God, we do come before you and ask your blessing on Monique and her family, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty thing. She would do a mighty work in this young lady, Lord. And I pray you'd give her strength. And I pray, Lord, you'd help her to overcome perhaps fears and doubts that she may have. Lord God, help her to forget her past and to look forward to the future that you have for her. And I pray, Lord, you'd bless her and use her in a mighty way thank you for her, Lord. Thank you for her humble heart and her willingness to come forward. And we ask you, Lord, to bless her. Show her your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, that's what it's about, folks. It's about letting the Word of God impact you in some way and make a choice for Him. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Lord, for the power that you give us through your Holy Spirit to make the choices we need to make. May our ears be attentive to you. May our heart always be turned towards you. May our lives follow you. Thank you, Lord, for these that were here today. I ask you to bless them, encourage them, and use them for your glory, Lord. For it's all about you. We thank you and praise you. We ask you to bless the food that will be and the fellowship that will follow. We praise you and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.